That was beautiful. Thank you. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me, and if you must, in spite of me. And I ask all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I feel like you say the word evangelism and people instantly become uncomfortable. I know that this has been true for me for a long time. Many of us have heard the statistics that detail how folks rarely invite other people to church with them. But I think part of it is because we're just a little uncomfortable, if we're honest, with evangelism. And yet, even though we shy away from the topic, we do so for so many different reasons. Some of our hesitation comes from being on the receiving end of someone else's evangelism. Whether asked, "Have you accepted Jesus?" by a domineering brother-in-law, or "Do you know where you're going when you die?" by a well-meaning but an intense coworker. Too many folks have experienced evangelism as coercive, even threatening at times. People are trying to share the good news, just as Miss Pam told us earlier, but sometimes the way they share it, it doesn't feel like such good news after all. Still others shy away from evangelism out of a conviction that religion isn't something that polite people talk about, or one's faith is private, or simply out of a desire not to be perceived as a religious fanatic by those around them. And sometimes we avoid evangelism because we're like me and we're introverted, and the thought of evangelism immediately conjures to our mind having an in-depth conversation with a perfect stranger, and it makes us anxious just thinking about it. But whatever your reason may be, many people have a little experience in evangelism, and some of us are just still downright frightened of it. And yet I think if you'll stick with me today, today's scripture might help us to admit our discomfort at times with evangelism, and perhaps even begin to help us overcome that discomfort. Today we hear Jesus' first words that are recorded in the gospel according to John. Now, just to set the scene, we're just 29 verses into that gospel today, and what we've already learned is that Jesus is the Word of God made flesh, that all things came into being through Jesus, that He is the light that shines in the darkness, He is the Lamb of God that takes away our sins, and He is the Son of God Most High. And the first words that Jesus says in John's gospel are, "What are you seeking?" Or in some translations, "What do you want?" And the disciples answer, "Where are you staying?" Now think about that for a minute. I've always thought that John's disciples, the one who Jesus asked this question of, must have been caught off guard, because it seems like to me that they say the very first thing that pops into their head. Because why, if Jesus Christ asked you what you were looking for, would you just blurt out, "So what hotel are you staying at?" I always thought that was a dumb question, but Bible scholars who, unlike me, can read Greek tell me that the disciples didn't just ask Jesus, "Whose house are you crashing at?" But instead, a better translation might have been, "Where do you abide? What has captured your imagination and your attention, Jesus? What have you given your heart to? What's most important to you?" That gets a whole lot closer to what the disciples were asking rather than, "Where is your hotel located?" Right? This is the perfect invitation for Jesus then to tell his disciples about himself. After all, they've asked him, what captures your imagination? What has won your heart? This is the perfect opportunity then for him to talk to them about God. So what perfectly theologically appropriate message does our Lord and Savior then give them? Well, Jesus' answer is to simply say, come and see. It's quite possibly the simplest of invitations. And before we go any further, though, I think it's important to stop here and pause for a minute while we think about what Jesus said and think about what Jesus didn't say that he could have in this moment. You see, he doesn't say, what are you looking for? And then tell them to go grab a pencil because he's about to give them a good lecture in theology. He doesn't offer us an exam to see if our morals are strict enough to get to hang out with Jesus. He doesn't guard the gates for entry for them only if they are non-sinners or at least have the good sense to clean themselves up before Christ, right? He doesn't say, I'm going to need you to recite 15 pieces of scripture or a creed before we go any further. No, instead what Jesus does is he offers an invitation. He says, come and see. Now this should be a relief to those of us who feel like we have to say the right thing in order to evangelize someone. Or we have to say the perfect 5 steps to salvation in the perfect order, and then we have to answer every question that's thrown our way perfectly and theologically, and then we have to close with the best prayer you ever heard. Right? No, that's not what Jesus does. He just says, come and see. And that brings us back to our jobs as Christians. When it comes to our relationship with Jesus, our primary job is to see God at work and to share what we have seen. Not to threaten, not to coerce, not to intimidate, not to woo or to bargain or to plead, but simply to see, to notice God at work and to share. To extend the invitation, come and see. Come and see our choir on Sunday morning. They're fantastic. Come and hear our preacher. She won't put you to sleep, I think. Come and work alongside us at the Christian Help Center or with Habitat for Humanity. Come and taste the fellowship meal that we're going to prepare. We have some great cooks in this church. Come and see that our Lord is so very good. Just come. We are to witness to God at work in our midst. We are simply to point to where God is at work in the world. It's our calling, both as individual believers in Jesus Christ and as a church. That's what we do. We notice where God is working and we point it out so that everybody might come and see the goodness of our Lord. John the Baptist does it here in the scripture passage for today. He sees the dove descend upon Jesus at his baptism, and he tells others what he sees. You see, John the Baptist, he'd been baptizing up until that point. You remember? He said, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming who's going to baptize you in the Spirit. And so he goes about his normal baptism, except it's not his normal baptism. There's a dove that comes down and a voice from heaven that says, this is my son whom I'm well pleased. John never seen anything like that before. Must be something going on. And so he goes and he tells people what he has seen. That's it. And then Andrew later does the same. He tells his brother what John's other disciples saw. The person they believe is the Messiah. He says, look, I think we've seen this guy. I think this guy is the Messiah. And he invites Peter to come along and to see it for himself. Could it really be that simple? At its heart, is evangelism simply noticing what God is doing in our lives, sharing it with others, and inviting them to come and see it for themselves? It's what John the Baptist does in the scripture. It's what Andrew does, and it's what Jesus does. When Jesus notices some of John's disciples following him, he asks them what they're looking for. And then he doesn't give an answer. He doesn't question them further. All he does in response is offer an invitation. Come and see. Notice, share, and invite. These are the three elements of evangelism. Notice, share, and invite. Noticing where God is at work, sharing the good news of what God has done, and inviting folks to see it for themselves. To see God at work through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The first step is to notice. What if we spend 5 minutes just naming where we saw or felt the presence of God in our world and in our lives? Like before a church committee meeting, or during Sunday school, or Bible study, or over conversation with your family at dinner. In the churches that I serve, we've tried to do that with what we call God sightings. We name where we have seen God out loud during our prayer time each week, and we print it alongside our prayer concerns in our bulletin. Now, I realize it's a lot easier to do in a smaller church setting than this. However, I have served as an associate pastor before at a large church. And I do know that there are times that that can be done in smaller settings, like a Bible study, or a Sunday school, or a youth group, or a choir practice. It can also be done over lunch today after the service with your family. Just taking 5 minutes and noticing where you've seen God at work. And if this is new to you and you're having trouble doing it at first, consider doing this. Consider naming the places where God needed to be. Places of tragedy, like a family whose home burned, or an argument. Disagreements in the United Methodist Church, disagreements in our country. Or how about our prayer requests, those that are printed on our bulletin? Those are needs, certainly, where we need God to be present. I think if you begin to do this, then you'll notice over time where God actually is. In the first responders, or the relief workers, or the caring neighbor, or the friend who are shedding Christ's light into these situations. And over time, we begin to develop the capacity to see God in our everyday, ordinary lives. And one more thing that I have to mention, and that is God is everywhere. God is certainly gathered here in this church with us this morning, thanks be to God. But God is everywhere. And in order to notice God's presence, we need to practice doing this in our everyday life. Because God is with us always. Now, the first thing was to notice, and the second, the heart of evangelism, is to share. Most of us are nervous about sharing our faith, either for the reasons that I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon, or simply because we've never done it. That means practice is probably the only solution to this problem. I'm afraid, though, sometimes we think sharing involves coercing strangers, or it involves saying the exact perfect right thing, and that you have to have studied theology to do that. But don't worry, no degree is required to talk about your faith. It can be as simple as sharing with a friend or a family member one reason why you come to church. One thing that you love about this church. One thing that makes you get up on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock and head here and join this group of individuals. It's intended to not be a big deal, and yet sometimes it feels like it. It feels like a big deal because we're not used to sharing about our faith, but it's something we can learn. So the first thing is to notice, the second thing is to share, and the third element of evangelism is to invite. This may at first seem like the hardest part of all. It can feel so intrusive And of course, it puts demands on us to actually follow through, right? And yet, if we think about it, we are great at inviting people to things. To join a book club, to play tennis, to go to an after-school event or to come over for dinner, to attend a sporting event or go to the movies or go shopping with us. We're actually quite great at inviting people to do things with us. Just not church. And of course, we invite people to these things that we really like, these things that we've enjoyed, and so we think that other people might enjoy them too. And so we need to ask ourselves, what elements of your church life do you most value? What do you love that you do here the most? Maybe you love going to serve out in the community. Maybe you love the choir. And so you think, I should invite somebody to choir practice. Maybe you love your Sunday school class or your Bible study. And so you find the thing that you love. Now, if you can't identify anything that you enjoy about your church, that's another sermon for another day. Okay? But hopefully you can find something that you love here. And it's just as simple as inviting somebody to come along and experience it with you. Now, framed that way, it probably doesn't feel quite as hard, does it? Notice, share, and invite. This is the way that we do evangelism. During the 2015-2016 school year, I led a Bible study for a group of teenage girls at a high school each week before classes started. One day, we stumbled upon that dreaded topic of evangelism, and I saw every girl in the room shudder, right? They didn't want to talk about evangelism. Now, granted, most all of them went to church every Sunday, but evangelism, that was a whole nother thing. But what I knew about those girls is the majority of them were on the school track team. And so I asked them, how do you recruit people to the school's track team? At first, they couldn't think of an answer, but then I asked them, how did you come to join the school's track team? And they told me how much they enjoyed running and how they had a natural ability for it. And so folks, maybe a friend or a family member or the coach, began to notice this. And so they shared with the person about the track team. And then they invited them to come and try out for the team. And so I asked the girls if they had been intimidated to share with someone else about track and being a part of it, and if they had been offended that they themselves had been invited to be a part of the team. And they said no. So then I asked them, why couldn't they share their faith in much the same manner? Why can't we notice where God is at work, both inside and outside of the church, share with one another when we see God at work, and invite each other to participate? Maybe it's that simple. Maybe we've overcomplicated it. Maybe it's as simple as forwarding an email devotional to a family member who you think might get something from it. Maybe it's as simple as inviting your neighbor to come with you to hear special music at church. Maybe it's as simple as asking a youth to go with your youth group to the movies this Sunday. Or telling your friend about a great book by a Christian author that you read. Or how much you love your Sunday school class, and would they like to come with you? You see, simple things have huge results. John the Baptist simply shares the wonder of what he saw at Jesus' baptism, and Jesus gains his first disciples, people who will carry that message on beyond John to the ends of the earth. Jesus invites them to come and to see, and they leave their homes and their families, and they embark on God's great adventure. Andrew tells his brother he really ought to meet Jesus, and the rock upon which Jesus will build his entire church falls into faith. From the beginning of creation until now, God delights in taking little things, things that may seem insignificant to the world, and doing something wonderful through them. So also with our attempts to share our faith, our tentative ventures into telling others what we've seen and what we've felt, They may seem like small efforts, yet God who brought light from darkness, God who raises the dead to life, can and will do marvelous things through them. So don't be afraid to notice, to share, and to invite others in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. God, give us a spirit of boldness. May we be brave for you. Stepping out to notice, taking the time out of our day, give us a break from this. May we take a break from this busy, hectic life and just notice the world around us. And the ways that you are a God who is still active in this world and in our lives. Give us eyes to see you, Lord. And not only to see you, but when we see you, to be willing to share, to be willing to name it out loud, where we have seen you at work, to join alongside you in your work where we are able, and to invite others to come too, that we all might come and see the goodness of our God. For you are an amazing God, and you are transforming us, and you're transforming this world. And for that, we give you infinite thanks and praise. We pray all these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. We come now to the time where we give of God's tithes and our offerings. Will the ushers please come forward? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for all the gifts that you have given us in this life. Lord, we offer back to you just a small portion of all that you have given to us, for it is rightfully yours, and we pray that it might be used to further your work in this world. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. We come now into a time of prayer. As we come forward to pray this morning, a few prayer requests I'd like to share with you. One, please be in prayer for Bill Westenberger, the family of Alton Reeves, the family of Alma Woody, the family of Bob Blanks, and Ray Sawyer, in addition to the prayer list that is listed in your bulletin. And I invite you now, church, to prepare for a time of prayer. His name is wonderful, Jesus our Lord. May we bow down before him, worship and adore him. May we grow each and every day to be more and more like him, both as individuals and as a church. May this world come to know, come and see that our Lord is so very, very good. God, we lift up before you those names that have been read aloud in our worship service, those that are printed on our bulletin, and those that are imprinted upon our hearts. For we love you so, Lord, and we know that you love each and every one of us. And so we feel no fear in lifting these names before you, knowing how much you love them, and we pray that you will shed your bright light into each of these situations, God, that all might come to know the goodness of our Lord. God, prepare us for the week ahead. Help us to notice your work in our midst. Help us to come alongside you where we are able. Lord, lead and guide this church forward in a spirit of truth. And Lord, may you always be the center of our lives and of this church. And we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, I invite you to stand for our hymn, number 568, Christ for the World We Sing.
Thank you.
thank you for all of your kindness this day. Will you receive this benediction? May we go forth to notice God at work in our midst, to share what we have seen, and to invite others to come and see that our Lord is so very good. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.